Welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors. Visitors may wish to sign the visitor's book. Holiday arrangements. Please note there will be no Zoom presentations of Sunday services during the month of July. Five carers and the well. The carers group and the well both continue in July and August. The next meetings are the carers, 17th of July at 11 a.m. and the well, Friday the 1st of August at 1 p.m. Church groups. The Cycle Club have an outing on Saturday the 23rd of August. The walking group will be going out on Sunday the 31st of August, and that is a change of date. There will be a coffee morning on Saturday the 6th of September. Limekilns Church Bicentenary. There will be a series of guided walks in Limekilns and Charleston during July. See the details on the poster in the vestibule. There'll be a bring and share picnic on Charleston Green on Sunday the 17th of August. Timings to be announced later. And finally, here is the order of service for today.
And maybe I should say that for the next three Sundays, I won't be here. Janice and the worship team will be looking after worship during that period. Let's worship God. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 122, Let All the World in Every Corner Sing. Dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we ask you to receive our gifts, gifts of time, talent, and money, for your use in your kingdom and to your glory. Bless all that we give. In Jesus' name, Amen. And this morning, George is leading us in prayer.
Good morning. Just thought I'd check. What a lovely morning. Good. We're here to pray to Almighty God this morning. It's a prayer of thanks and of confession. Let us pray. Almighty God, We come to you with thankful hearts, amazed by the love behind your creativity, in awe of the vastness of all that you have imagined and brought into being. Every day we experience the beauty that surrounds us. Colors and shades, mountains and clouds, the intricate pattern of our own fingerprints, the rhythm of the tides, the scent of the sea. Your creativity never stops, from the smallest ladybird to the mighty elephant. Each one crafted by you and each one known to you. Thank you, Creator God. Thank you that you took the time to create us, your children, each of us unique and each of us loved. By your grace, you made us in your image for your purposes. Keep our eyes open to the wonder of what you have done. Open our eyes to the wonder of being filled with and known by you. May we always experience your creativity, Lord, in this your world. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray this. Gracious God, forgive us when we have neglected your gifts, shunning opportunities to build your church. Forgive us when we have not borne the Spirit's fruit, lacking love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or self-control. Forgiving Lord, hear us now as we would bring before you our personal confessions and seek your forgiveness. May your Holy Spirit not only comfort us with our imperfections, but inspire us to see the way of Christ more clearly. May we be so filled with your Spirit's power that our lives bear rich fruit and help to build your kingdom. And now we would join together in your prayer as taught to us by your Son, our Lord Jesus. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 577, Christ be beside me. Stephen Hawking wrote the following: For millions of years, mankind lived just like the animals. Then something happened which unleashed the power of our imagination. We learned to talk and we learned to listen. Speech has allowed the communication of ideas, enabling human beings to work together to build the impossible. Mankind's greatest achievements have come about by talking, and its greatest failures by not talking. It doesn't have to be like this. Our greatest hopes could become reality in the future. With the technology at our disposal, the possibilities are unbounded. All we need to do is make sure we keep talking. I've got another quotation for you, and maybe I should explain a little before I read this. This is fiction that I'm going to read, and it talks about the Babel fish. Now, the Babel fish is a little fish that if you stick it in your ear, it means that you can understand any language that is spoken, and anything that you speak is understood by others. All you need to do is put the fish in your ear. Douglas Adams, it's from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And Douglas Adams says this: meanwhile, the poor Babel fish, by effectively removing all barriers to communication between different races and cultures, has caused more and bloodier wars than anything else in the history of creation. Stephen Hawking is the optimist. Douglas Adams is the pessimist. Hawking is the scientist, Adams the fiction writer and satirist. I've got to say, I'm inclined to believe Adams over Hawking. What would happen if all barriers to communication were removed? Would this herald a golden age of peace and understanding? The evidence is that humanity is far more adept at turning plowshares into swords and pruning hooks into spears than the opposite of this. The passage we're going to read from Isaiah is that very famous passage about a day when people will look to God and seek to live lives that are pleasing to God. The picture is of nation no longer taking up arms against nation, of swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Humanity has taken every technology and in some way misused it. To make this choice even worse is that we have the capability to use technology for good. Sadly, the satirist is more realistic than the scientist. That is, if we go by the evidence of what humanity has done. The great vision of Isaiah, by human wisdom and human experience, is wholly unrealistic. But there is a greater truth than human sinfulness. God's truth. And God's truth is that he has faith in humanity. At the heart of the gospel is the fact that God loves us and trusts us and calls us and gifts us. In Christ, we have the one who goes with us to the ends of the earth and to the end of the age. We're going to read now from the prophet Isaiah, that passage that I mentioned, and then from Acts chapter 11, that moment when the church goes beyond Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and goes out into the world beyond. It's about the church in Antioch. Marian is going to read for us.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, reading verses 1 to 5. It's entitled The Mountain of the Lord. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. It's entitled The Church in Antioch. Now those who were scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Amen.
Hymn 774, Jesus, name above all names.
Thank you.
On Friday evening, I was watching the 10 o'clock news, something that is not in the least unusual for me. I almost always watch the news and weather at this point in the evening. It's certainly a pattern, and some in the family suggest it is an addiction. And on the subject of addiction, one of the items that caught my attention as I kind of lazily watched the news was an item about Irving Welsh writing a sequel to his book and film Trainspotting. I have to admit that I have neither read the book nor seen the film, although it's one of those films or books that you kind of know about because it has been mentioned so much in the media over the years. What caught my attention was a comment made by Irving Welsh as he was interviewed. In talking about this sequel, he said he was partly motivated to write it because, and this is the comment he made, "We're living in a world that seems to be so full of hate and poison. I think that it's time we focused more on love as a kind of antidote to all of that." I have no idea what the sequel to Trainspotting will contain, but the statement made by Welsh struck home. "We're living in a world that seems to be so full of hate and poison. I think it's time we focused more on love as a kind of antidote to all that." Certainly, in the setting and context of a late evening news broadcast, we are clearly living in a world where there is a great deal of hate and poison. You can hardly watch the news without knowing that. Certainly, there is a need to be focused on love rather than hate. I'm not sure what Irving Welsh's definition of love is when he talks of love as a kind of antidote to hate. From a biblical perspective, we have both a clear definition and an absolute example of what love is. We don't have a kind of antidote. Rather, we have a transforming love that has the power to change the world. We have plenty of definitions of love in the Bible, and we have Jesus as our example of what God's love really is. The passage that we have just read from the book of Acts describes a moment of transition. Last week we read how persecution of Jesus' followers in Jerusalem had led them to scatter through Judea and Samaria. This week, we continue that story, discovering that some of those who had fled Jerusalem also fled from Judea and Samaria. They went beyond. In the first century, it is worth remembering that there were more Jews living outside of the area we know as Israel than lived within that area. Some of those who fled persecution would have come from places beyond Judea and Samaria. Some who feared that persecution would follow them in Judea and Samaria may well have sought refuge in nations beyond. There in that first verse that we read from Acts 11, we have a clear indication that the church at that moment was regarded as part of Judaism. Immediately prior to the verses that we read today is the story of Peter going to meet with Cornelius, a Roman centurion, and there Peter discovers a Gentile household who received the gospel, and in coming to faith in Jesus, experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. Though Gentiles are coming to faith in that passage, it is by way of Judaism. It's noted that this man and his household honour the Jewish people and the Jewish faith. This household would probably have been described as God-fearers rather than converts to Judaism. But these Gentiles that Peter goes to meet have come to faith through Judaism. Acts 11:19 gives us a context for what happens next. We're told that men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch. No doubt they were Jews, but Jews who were used to living in the Gentile world outside of Judea. These men from Cyprus and Cyrene do what was unexpected, and there are unexpected results. They speak to Greeks, and in the New Testament, Greeks means Gentiles. It was a Greek culture. Not all of those who were called Greeks were Greeks. And these Greeks come to faith in Jesus. Word of this gets back to Jerusalem. We can presume that the disciples, folk like Peter, James and John and the others, needed to know what was happening. So they send a trusted individual on a fact-finding mission. Barnabas is sent and finds genuine faith in this group of believers. In the process of encouraging faith in this new group of believers, they not only grow in faith, but grow in numbers. Something new is happening. For the first time, those with no background in Judaism are believing that Jesus is Savior. Barnabas recognizes that he needs some help. And so he goes looking for Saul. He goes to find Saul in Tarsus. Saul has the benefit of both education in Judaism to the highest level and also status within the Gentile world of the Roman Empire. Saul is a Pharisee and a Roman citizen. So begins the life work of the man we know better as Paul. The Pharisee will challenge Jewish authority. The Roman citizen will challenge Roman authority. The man who once violently opposed the church will write some of the most powerful words on love. In 1 Corinthians 13, a definition of love that encapsulates the love that can and does transform. It's noted that there in Antioch, it is where the disciples of Jesus were first called Christian. The word Christian means belonging to or owned by Christ. Some have interpreted this belonging as being something as strong as slave of Christ. And there is a thought that the word Christian was first of all used as an insult. You're no more than a slave of Christ. Jesus does not call his followers either servant or slave. In a number of verses, Jesus says, "I call you friends." And he goes further than that to say, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you've got to be like a slave. And if you're going to be the greatest in the kingdom, you have to be slave of all. Our calling is to serve in Christ's name, to use all that we are in his service. And that means we are called to love others without limit. As we live out our faith, we do so as witnesses still reaching out towards the ends of the earth with Jesus' promise that he is always with us even to the end of the age. The book of Acts doesn't end in its last chapter. The Acts of the Apostles continues, because we are called to be apostles. And those last words of Matthew's Gospel, the words that we know as the Great Commission, are still in force. Jesus says to us, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus told his disciples at his ascension to wait, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in the place where you are, in Judea and Samaria, the place where you might go, and even to the ends of the earth. We are Jesus' witnesses to the ends of the earth, and we continue with the one who promised that he would always be with us, even to the very end of the age. Amen. We sing now hymn number 543, "Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness."
Thank you.
George is now going to lead us in our prayers for others.
I've entitled this a prayer for the world. Having just sung that hymn, my prayer would be we sing that hymn again, quite honestly, because it encapsulates almost everything that I'm about to talk about. So if you'd like to join me, please, for prayer for the world. God of all creation, how wonderful are your works. So many that we cannot count them or know them all. And yet you care so deeply about each and every one of your children that you continue to work for your kingdom to come and your dream for all people to be made real on earth. You are the wisdom beyond all knowing. You are the maker of all things. And the earth is full of your creatures. We pray for our world, for the sea great and wide. Help us to find ways of living more compassionately and sustainably, that we would stem the tide of climate change, that we would work together for climate justice. We pray in your name that justice roll down like fresh water, devoid of pollution, and full of life for all. We pray for all living things, both small and great. In your wisdom, you lovingly created them. Inspire us to care too for all life. You breathe life into each of us. May we do more than respect the dignity of others, no matter how small or great they may seem. Inspire us to love our neighbour. Empower us to work for justice for all. Open your hand that we may all have enough. We look to you to give us food in due season. And for those who do not have and have no means to provide, we ask for your provision, for justice, for equity. Help us to play our part in making this a reality. Lord, send forth your Spirit that we may all be renewed. We pray for your Spirit of peace to bring an end to the violence that is so visible. For all the conflicts that we know of, Lord, we pray for an end. For all that we do not know, help us to become more aware of what we might do to play our part as reconcilers and peacemakers. God of all creation, we ask of you now that you would hear our prayers as we raise them to you. For all the different people in our lives that we care for your church and all her people, for all the work that we are involved in, for all the situations that come to mind, we ask that you would uphold your people with your right hand of righteousness. We wait now with you in silence as we bring them to mind. Almighty God, we would now thank you for listening to our prayers on this day, in the sure and certain knowledge that our prayers will be answered through the awesome power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Hymn number 458.
Thank you.
love and to serve. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.